Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Win the dramatic opener. Are we heading for overtime? Carnero's kick is good.
Yowza, yowza, yowza from Music City, from the student section behind the goal line on Saturdays to the buzzer beaters of the madness in March. Welcome to episode number 10 of Bowl Games and Brackets. I am Joe, and I am joined by my compadre Darren. And we are here to take you through the world of college football and basketball. From the rivalries and underdogs to the legendary performances, we will be your guide. From your dorm to the tailgate, we have you covered each and every week. Sit back, relax, and enjoy. And week one is just about in the books, Darren. And what a week it was.
We got one game left tonight, which... You know, we're hoping for a good game, and then for us, we're hoping it's not a good game because we're doing our recap a little early. But yeah, it should be a thriller tonight. We're real excited about, Florida State SMU, but we had some great games this weekend. A couple of disappointing performances as well, but we had a couple of really great games.
Oh, and we finished off last night with a Music City Classic between Ole Miss and Louisville.
This was an amazing game back and forth, a game where 63 points were scored in the second half, Joe. 10-6 at the half, and then it just was a punch. It was like watching a heavyweight fight, Joe. Two teams just kept throwing punches.
And it wasn't like big punches. It was fast and furious. It was like uppercut to uppercut. They were flying down the field back and forth. It was like a track meet in the third and fourth quarter.
It was. And you know what we saw is we saw two pass defenses that could not contain the wide receivers out in this game. Particularly Louisville really struggled keeping Deuce Alexander under control yesterday, Joe.
Oh, no. They had no answer for him. And even Caleb Odom got loose a couple of times on them too. So, and Trinidad Chambliss, he's going to be known as the cardiac quarterback right now. Every game he's in, he's got them in there between his feet or his arm. He's keeping this team going. And, again, they pulled out a nail-biter last night.
I mean, he throws an unbelievable deep ball. He throws it perfectly. He really does. Deuce Alexander, and by the way, his second touchdown, he dropped the ball before he crossed the goal line. I don't know how they don't see that. There's a guy on the goal line. He dropped it before he crossed. He dropped it before he crossed. I don't understand what the fascination is of not going through the end zone, not securing the touchdown. I'm not saying they should call it. I think it's a weak thing when it happens. But I'm saying, what is so hard about crossing the goal line with the ball in your hand before dropping it? I just don't freaking get it. It makes no sense. I'm perplexed by it, Joe.
No, and I agree. I agree. And it's crazy that they do it, and they do it. Well, it happens more often than not recently. It's been happening. But on the other side, look at Kleinholtz. Kleinholtz, I mean, he had a good game for Louisville last night with both his legs, 70 yards and a TD, and he threw for 200 and 300 yards. So he was no slouch either last night. Showed everybody that he can play.
He answered the bell every single time. He really just did. Excuse me, I'm sorry about that. What happened was he missed a couple open receivers early. He looked a little shaky early, and Kienholz looked like he didn't quite have it. They had two in the first drive, two delay of games. The play clock's right there. Snap the ball. I mean, Jeff Brohm was getting frustrated, every right to get frustrated. Louisville, though, the defense really held up well against Kawan Lacey until he got hurt, which – is something you got to watch going forward with Mississippi, because Ole Miss needs Kawan Lacy. They couldn't contain the pass, but they did a good job up front. I thought that Louisville, in a lot of ways, showed me more than Ole Miss in this game. And the reason why I say that is they're down 38-24, and they answer. They come back and tie this game up. Did you think they should have went for two when they would cut it to one with a minute and change left with no timeouts?
You know, I was going back and forth with that, but you know what? I think that they were hoping if they got – if you know, they still had – they knew Ole Miss was going to have to move down the ball down the field. They knew they were going to have to do it. So, you know, probably a good decision, I think. You know, did you want them to go for two?
No, because without the timeouts, if they don't make it and they don't recover the onside kick, the game's over.
Yeah.
I feel like you just scored the last 14 points of the game, so you had the momentum. The thing was, on the big third and six – where Chambliss hits Odom, they tried to blitz and to get the pressure for the first time. They were getting pretty good pressure when they were sending an extra man, and they didn't. Ole Miss's O-line was the reason why they won that game, because on that third and six, they didn't get through, gave him time to find Odom. Odom was able to get them into field goal range. And listen, you know, Carnero has the leg. They didn't have to get that deep. He missed one earlier, but they didn't have to get very deep to win that, put him in position to win that game.
No. And, you know, this Ole Miss team has a little bit of experience, especially Chambliss, in these close last-second games. They lost one, they won one. You know, they lost that one to Miami last year in the semifinals. But, you know, this was a great game, good way to start. I think I agree with you. Louisville proved more to us, to me, too, because I had Ole Miss, you know, winning this game, but I didn't think Louisville was going to be this good. I think they proved a lot to everybody. And Ole Miss, their defense better get it together this week, because you can't have a shootout like this every single week. And especially if Kawan Lacy's out, that's gonna take away from any distraction they have, and everybody's going to be covering the receivers and let them try to run the ball.
Now, I thought Louisville was going to win this one. I thought they were going to pull it out. I picked it on the last episode. I had Louisville. But they came up short. But I left feeling pretty good about how Kienholz kind of went to the next level in the second half against a good squad. And I think that Louisville is going to be the team that challenges Miami now. I have a hard time believing SMU is better than Louisville off of what I watched last night.
No, now if I would say Louisville is right there, and I think Miami's gonna this is gonna wake up Miami a little bit more. Not that they needed any help, but to be careful with Louisville lurking behind them, because Louisville came out, and the more time they have, the only problem that Jeff Brohm's had is the second half of the year is where they usually fall off. They get off to good starts, and they haven't been playing well second half of the year. So that's pretty interesting on that, so we'll see what happens.
It wasn't the only great game of the weekend, though.
I was going to say, we almost had a bigger upset, I guess. Well, a couple of bigger ones. Oregon and Boise. Oregon, who's a team that I've been following and pitching as a possible national champion and my national champion pick. And, God, they cannot get away from Boise State. You were on this one, Darren. You said that Boise was going to be there. I mean, they literally were right there, toe-to-toe with Oregon for most of this game. They never really let them get away from them.
Now, Maddox Mattson was good, and the running game was solid, too. Mattson threw for three touchdown passes. They did well off play action. They battled. Now, Oregon has so much talent, and you're watching it out there. And Dante Moore, again, I didn't think he was great, but at the end of the day, he completes almost 80% of his passes, throws for 378. So I don't know what more I'm looking for from the kid. He missed maybe one or two throws that I thought he had a little high, but, you know, he looks like the real deal. Maddox Mattson looks like he's like a coach in the making, so to speak, with that skill set he's got and understanding the game. The Ducks had 500 total yards, and they could not escape Boise State. They had 497 total yards at home. And, you know, but you know what it was, Joe? They take the lead. That last drive, the last two drives, actually, the defense stands up for the first time all game, when that vaunted defense we were expecting from Oregon rose to the occasion, Joe.
Yeah. No, they did. When it had to, it finally did. But the whole game. They just could not. It was like they could not stop the Boise attack for some reason. And their offense, you know, like you said, their offense was putting up yards and putting up points, but Boise was there shot for shot. And finally, when they needed to, they got the big stops at the end. But I have to say, Oregon's got to go back to the table on defense this week and kind of get everybody back in line, because they're going to get picked off in one of these Big Ten games if they're not careful.
Hey, traveling halfway across the country is not easy, but the touchdown that gave him the lead, the DeCorian Moore touchdown, where he ran the crossing pattern, then kind of stopped on a dime. The two Boise State players run into each other, and he walks in. This kid's a super talented kid. The amount of great wide receivers we're seeing so far through week zero, whatever that is, and week one is priceless. I just think that there's a ton of weapons for Oregon. Thought the defense got pushed around a little more than I expected, but they did rise up at the end. Once again, more impressed with the losing team than the winning team for the second straight game we're discussing, though. I thought that what Boise did in this game was outstanding on the road. Now, we knew that they played them tight 2 years ago, with lost by a field goal late, but this Oregon team is supposed to be better than that Oregon team. And Dan Lanning's going to have to figure this out, Joe.
Yes, he is, because this is not good for them, and Oregon's got to figure it out. I also think you're right. Boise, as the losing team, did do a hell of a lot for their resume in a one-score loss. But there was even another game of a team that should have beaten a team and ended up in probably the most controversial ending of the season or in the last couple of years in college football. And that's at the Big House.
Now, I was on this game. You were on this game for the over, I think, right?
Yes, I had the over, and I was shocked.
They scored 25 points.
I know, and Michigan comes out, and he goes right there. He goes right down the field, and I'm like, okay, here we go. It's going to be a track meet, Michigan, and they're going to put up, you know, 14 every quarter, and that's it. They're going to hit the over themselves. And then Western Michigan lived up to having the ninth-ranked defense last year, scoring defense. They were there. They held these guys after that first drive for basically the whole game, except for, I guess for 59 minutes and 59 seconds, they held them in check. And you know what? Credit to the kicker, who first game kicking in college football, kicks the field goals, calm as a cucumber. You know, the young man, Kelly, who was kicking the field goals for Western Michigan. The coach,
it was unbelievable.
I have to say, the coach gets props no matter the situation, win or lose. That he handled that situation like a perfect gentleman. But wow, that was incredible. Even watching the replay and Terry McCauley coming back on and saying, and you know, McCauley's one of the most respected, you know, up in the booth. Both on the field and in the booth, to say there was no time left.
No time left. I think they resynced these clocks. They talked about resyncing these clocks all together. Listen, we watched the game. You saw it hit zero when the ball was touched. I don't know what they're watching. Lance Taylor, like you said, Joe, classy as classy can be, you know. But at the same time, he knows his team got hosed in this one. Yep. And you're watching this game, and listen, we know the end was the fascination, and that's what it's all about. Michigan escapes with the win. Yeah. Is Bryce Underwood just going to be one of those guys that you sit there and you feel like there's tantalizing talent, but he's never going to put it together? Because now we're into the second season now against a team that they have more talent than, and they struggled with like a hard-nosed kind of coach in Kyle Whittingham. I don't know if Bryce Underwood's ever going to be the guy that we think he's supposed to be. Threw three turnovers anyway. Only threw for 170 yards, and 47 was on that last play. I mean, you know, Western Michigan had the ball for 40 minutes. Western Michigan did what they wanted. They just couldn't punch it in the end zone. That play was late. It was a bull call. It shouldn't have happened. Western Michigan should have walked away from here with the W. If you bet Western Michigan on the money line and lost on that, you're probably going crazy, by the way.
Yes.
I don't know. Michigan won the game, but again, the more impressive team was the team that lost again, Joe.
But yes, that's three games in a row that we're talking about where the losing team was more impressive. And this goes a lot, you know, Western Michigan, you know what? Their name is going to be up in the talks now, you know, along with the Boise and along with the Memphis as teams that, you know, are in these smaller conferences that can hang with the big guns, you know, and the big guns have got to be careful. It's, you know, it's there. And Western Michigan, like you said, unbelievable. They got hosed.
Yeah, I mean, they were the better team. They had actually won the game. Then they threw a second on there to give them another shot. And, yeah, listen, you know, you got a tall receiver that's running down the middle of the field, kind of unchecked. The defenders are all behind him. He's able to make the play. You know, you'd like to have somebody in front that can kind of deflect it. Western Michigan didn't really set it up that way, but the last play before it, he threw it out of the end zone, so you didn't know if Underwood was going to get it together. He did. He threw the ball where he had to throw it. They shouldn't have put that second back on, A. And B, Michigan has a Bryce Underwood problem.
Yes.
He's just not that good. And hey. I'm not taking away anything from Western Michigan's defense, but they have a Bryce Underwood problem. They're not going to be able to beat good teams in big spots. Think they're going to be able to win the game like that against Oklahoma next week?
No.
They're going to get embarrassed next week if they play like this again. And not the defense. But Bryce Underwood has to be better, Joe.
No, he has to. He has to be better. And Kyle Whittingham, I mean, you know what? Maybe he should have just stayed in Utah where life was good because he got out-coached, too. He got out-coached.
No, Lance Taylor, again...
Yeah.
If he doesn't get a big job off this year based off that game, I'd be stunned because you know what? The boys from Kalamazoo were better than the boys from Ann Arbor.
Yep. He's going to be the next top coaching prospect after week one. He's going to be the guy. Now,
I agree.
We go a little bit down the road, over a little bit to Lambeau Field in Wisconsin. And I have to say, last night, I had both games going back and forth, and I had the second screen. Notre Dame, Wisconsin hung in there for a half. Luke Fickell had these guys. They hung in there for a half. They played well. They even got a couple of big scoring strikes. But in the second half, Notre Dame, the Fighting Irish, came out, and they blasted them off the field in the second half.
At 28-3 in the second half, Joe, yeah. I think the pick six kind of put it away. I thought that was the play that ended all doubt, so to speak, if there was any. The simple fact of the matter is that they're a more talented team, and it showed kind of quite easily in that game. I was surprised that it was. I'm surprised that Wisconsin gave me more than I expected for a half. Don't know what it says for them going forward, but they battled in the trenches. They gave Notre Dame some they punched them a little bit. But Notre Dame, you know, the DJ McKinney 55-yard interception return was huge. And then Wisconsin, you know, really couldn't get the offense going in the second half. You see some things about Wisconsin that you could like, but you saw that Notre Dame, they got punched in the mouth and they punched right back.
Yep, and, you know, Wisconsin, though, they did show us something. It'll be interesting to see how they do next week because is they going to take this as – you hate to use the phrase it's a good loss, but they hung tough for a half. Maybe Luke Fickell can get this in the mindset of his guys that, you know, this was Notre Dame and, you know, they're predicted to be in there for the national title hunt. So maybe Wisconsin will – you know, steal a couple here. I could see them, you know, another case where the losing team did show us a little bit of something.
Yeah, and Wisconsin could have done a little bit more even in the first half. They had a fumble recovery that wasn't. I mean, he was out of bounds clearly. Yeah. I don't know how they give Notre Dame that ball there. And again, I'm no dog in the fight in this game. I just want to see a fair game. Officiating was question marks a lot. We didn't touch on it, but the running into the kicker on Louis, the roughing the kicker, that was running into. That wasn't roughing to give Ole Miss the first down. There were a lot of calls out there this week that were definitely questionable. That fumble looked so blatant. I don't know how you don't overturn that. I don't know how you don't overturn that. But they gave the ball to Notre Dame. C.J. Carr was not great, but he was okay, and he picked it up in the second half. And again, he's only a sophomore, so we'll see what he's able to do. Again, did Notre Dame flip the switch in the second half, or did they just wear Wisconsin down? That's what we don't know. We don't know if Wisconsin's really good or if Notre Dame came out flat and flipped the switch on in the second half. That's what the next couple of weeks are going to tell us about both of these squads, Joe.
Sure, that's for sure. Now we keep it around. Well, there's one more game that we covered, which I thought Clemson was going to have a chance in. The best was, I just want to go back and say, I know you laughed and other people laughed at me when I said I had to check the weather in LSU for Saturday night. And sure enough, I flipped my screen on. It says a weather delay for 2 hours down in Baton Rouge. So, you know,
apparently Lane Kiffin allowed it to extend to 90 minutes. They didn't need it to be that whole time. But Lane Kiffin and his usual gamesmanship. But you can't make fun of him when you win 51-10, Joe.
No, you can't. There's nothing more I can say except, you know what? Like he said, imagine if he had NFL players. So, you know, Clemson, wow, Dabo and that team, they look like a shell of themselves from
Worst loss under the Dabo Sweeney era, during the Dabo Sweeney era of this game.
I mean, this was just outplayed, outmanned. It wasn't even close. I mean, coming off that game, LSU looks very, very impressive. And if Lane Kiffin might make me eat my words, which is, you know what? More power to them. But, wow, the firepower was unreal.
I'm going to start this off on Dabo. I mean, listen, if they don't turn this around and turn around quick, this is his last season in Clemson. You know, that's it. That'll be it. Because suddenly now all the winning and the championship and all that stuff goes on the back burner when you're sitting here watching them get embarrassed on national TV week one where everybody's glued into this game. Last night you had the two games back and forth, and I had both games on. You were going back and forth as well.
Yeah.
There was no competition on Saturday night. Everybody was glued in for Clemson LSU. And after Clemson got the early turnover and scored and went up 3-0, they didn't do a thing the rest of the game. I mean, Vezina went 10 for 16 for 83 yards with a pick, and the pick was a pick six by Jordan Ross. They didn't score a touchdown until the fourth quarter when the game was over. You know, they were embarrassed. They were ill-prepared.
LSU played three quarterbacks. You never hear the third quarterback getting into a game.
I mean, and Leavitt was great.
Yeah.
We saw the signs of what made him so great as a freshman 2 years ago at Arizona State. Threw for 230 and a touchdown, ran for another two touchdowns at 113 yards. They had 644 total yards. Not the most in the SEC this week, by the way. But 644 total yards. You know, 309 yards rushing against Clemson. I mean, this is a new offensive line. I know they brought in some big-time players, but you figure it takes them a couple weeks to gel. Whew. Unbelievable. They had 6.9 yards of play with three quarterbacks. I mean, this is embarrassing. Clemson had 145 total yards.
No, they got...
This is Clemson.
They are lost right now.
They're embarrassed. They should be embarrassed. This was awful. Oh, I'm sorry. Dylan Jones also had 113 yards and two rushing touchdowns, too. So you had two guys, the quarterback and the running back, each getting the same amount of yards, the same number of touchdowns. But I never thought Clemson would get embarrassed. And you figure they come out, and we didn't know who Vezina was. We really didn't. And, you know, they weren't great on the Klubnik last year. And, you know, you say, all right, well, you know, maybe it's just a tough year, but. I mean, listen, they could still finish mid-pack in the ACC, but in the SEC, they go winless if they play like this. I don't know if there's anybody that's better than in the SEC right now, what I saw. And LSU, much as both of us hate Lane Kiffin, ripped them, he's a prick, everything else, LSU's a contender, pal.
They are.
LSU's a legit contender. That game in 2 weeks, LSU Ole Miss is going to be ridiculous.
Should decide one half of the SEC championship game.
That game is going to be ridiculous. This is more, and I feel like I'm taking things away from LSU. They were great, but this is an indictment on Clemson in this game.
Yes.
Indictment that you come out and you're not ready, in a big game on the road. They don't even show up.
No, but now talking about 2 weeks from now, if you're Pete Golding, you got to get in there with your defense and say, hey, we cannot, you know, we can't get into a track meet with LSU because there might not be a track meet to be had right now.
Crazy game. Really crazy. I agree with you.
Everybody's on notice now that LSU is, I mean, they just dismantled these guys.
Absolutely.
And Dabo's going to go back to the drawing board, but, you know, who knows? Who knows? This could be the beginning of the end for him here in Clemson.
If they can't play defense and they can't play offense, I don't know what's going on, because we saw some pretty good offensive performances in the conference, in the ACC this week, against lesser competition. But it doesn't look like what you saw from Clemson. I know LSU is good, but what you saw from Clemson is they may not be able to keep up with Pitt. They may not be able to keep up with Wake. They may not be able to keep up with Syracuse with the way that they scored points this week, 145 yards on prime time. Wow, I'm blown away with how disappointing Clemson was this week, Joe. Blown away.
Unprepared. And that's not good.
No, it's not.
That's not good. Now, looking at some other games that were in the top 25 this week, we had Indiana, the defending national champs. Defense was okay. They rolled past North Texas 52-16, I mean, which was expected. But Josh Hoover, he had a good game, 13-16, 241, touchdown. They were rolling.
They had four touchdowns at the game. I might admit it.
Bloodied. Four touchdowns, my bad. They were gained, scarily enough, 367 to 365, even though they only scored 16 points in North Texas. But at one point, they start putting in the subs on defense. But Indiana, they started their defense of their national title off with a win. Number one, Ohio State. Wow, Ball State. Jordan saying, what can you say? 21 for 25, 320, three touchdowns. Jeremiah Swift, 8, 151, two touchdowns. They're both on the Heisman watch list as always. Georgia, wow, another one, crushed them. Tennessee State, 63-3. You know, Gunnar Stockton, he had one heck of a game. 15 for 16, 202 yards, three touchdowns. Nate Frazier rushed four times for 72 yards, averaging 18 yards a carry with three TDs. Unbelievable. And Tennessee State was held to just 109 yards. But Georgia came out rolling. Texas against Texas State, the in-state rival game. Arch Manning got started off in the second year. 19 for 26, 292 yards, three touchdowns. He did throw a pick, but Texas rolling. Miami, what a day they had in Miami. Friday night in Stanford in California, 45-6. This game wasn't even on. Darian Mensah, Heisman watch again there, 27 for 30, 400 yards, five TDs. And Malachi Toney, 12 for 233 with three TDs. And he caught 12 of the 13 passes thrown his way. So that neither one of them, you know, they were on target the whole game. Miami, wait till they play, Clemson. Forget about it. 45 might be nothing.
Right now, Miami Notre Dame looks like the game of the year. But anyway, we'll get to that later.
We're going to get to that in a little bit. Texas A&M, they shut out Missouri State 50-0. Marcel Reed was 21 for 30, 217, two TDs. Missouri State, four first downs and 73 total yards. God, like a high school team out there. Oklahoma, gearing up for Michigan. They didn't look past UTEP. They crushed them, 51-0. Mateer, he was 11 for 17 for 225 and three TDs. Oklahoma, they must have watched the Michigan-Western Michigan game, and hopefully they're beginning to salivate what they might be up against. Texas Tech, 33. In-state rival Abilene Christian, 10. Will Hammond was 26 for 33 with 298, a touchdown and an interception. Texas Tech rolling. Alabama, did you expect anything else against poor Pirates of East Carolina? 48-10. ECU limited to five first downs and Russell was 17 for 29, 249 yards, 13 carries, 86 yards in the TD. And Ryan Coleman Williams was 5 catch for 130 yards.
Yeah, 2 years ago, he was like him and Jeremiah Smith were on the same plane. Yeah. Jeremiah Smith has gone a little bit past him. But Ryan Williams, now that he's using the hyphen, he might get better.
That's it. He's got the hyphen. Maybe the quarterback will help him too. USC. So now USC 2-0. Well, they learned from last week where they gave up the backdoor cover by playing the backups. So they go out and they take Fresno out 30-0. Fresno State limited to 116 yards. Lincoln Riley trying to keep his job. He limited them also to 9 first downs. Jordan Mavia, 23 for 25, 349 and 3 TDs on the Heisman watch. BYU, 63, Utah Tech, 7. Bear Backmeyer, 16 for 20, 198, 3 touchdowns and a rushing TD. So BYU looking good. Penn State, well, we are Penn State, 45, Marshall Zippo. And Rocco Beck, 13 for 71, 271, 13 for 17 with 271 yards and 4 touchdowns. Penn State looks good.
Tennessee, Matt Campbell gets off to a pretty good start.
That's true. And Tennessee, 56, Furman, 9. Faison Brandon, 13 for 17 with 226, 3 touchdowns, 10 for 68, and 2 rushing TDs for him as well. Number 21, Utah, 66. Idaho, 14. Devin Dampier, 13 for 18, 176 yards and 3 touchdowns. Number 22, Iowa. Wow, their defense showed up. Northern Illinois gets shut out 40-0. Another team that got less than double digits in first downs with only 7 and held to 120 yards. We expect the Iowa defense to be good. Offense played well against Northern Iowa. We'll see what they do going forward. Kamari Mouton, 11 carries, 183 yards and 2 touchdowns. And Iowa had 289 yards rushing. So they were running the ball left and right.
Both quarterbacks played. I thought Brown had a better game than Heklinski did in this one. Heklinski did throw the pick.
He did. But Mouton was on. I mean, all they needed was hand the ball off and go. Northern Illinois had no way of stopping these guys. And then Missouri 54, Arkansas Pine Bluff 14. Austin Simmons 17 for 19, 252 yards and 4 touchdowns.
Lost his job at Ole Miss for an injury last year. They had to find a new spot. Found one at Missouri. And, seems to be getting things for Eli Drinkwitz off to a good start for the 25th ranked team in the nation.
Now, you have a couple of other things we wanted to touch on, right?
Yeah, I mean, listen, we had a couple of performances that were, let's start with some pretty good ones, actually. I mean, some interesting storylines. Colorado 14, Georgia Tech 13. This was a sloppy game if you watched it at all. Colorado defense, though, did play really well, and they sealed it with the blocked field goal at the gun. So, Georgia Tech going for the win. The field goal gets blocked. Colorado gets off 1-0. Coach Prime, let's see if he can muster up some offense from Lewis and the boys, and let's see what they can do going forward. Auburn-Baylor was an interesting one. Auburn survives. This was a pretty even game, even though there were 5 turnovers. It wasn't a great well-played game, but it was a competitive game. So Baylor scores the touchdown with 9 seconds to go on a 4th down. They go for 2. And they get tackled inside the 1 because DJ Lagway throws it behind the tight end, hits him on the back shoulder. If he leads him, he walks in, and Baylor's 1-0. But he does it. Great tackle by Auburn. Auburn's 1-0, and Auburn survives. UCLA pulled away from Cal in this one, 45-24. JKS had 3 turnovers, 2 interceptions, but UCLA ran for 271 in the Bob Chesney debut, so it was a pretty good start for them. Works well. Team I mentioned, Mississippi State, Kamario Taylor. Led this team with 22 for 34 for 354 and 4 touchdowns. Also ran 6 for 59 in a score. Mississippi State had 762 yards of total offense in this one. They win 62-13 over Louisiana Monroe. Va Tech Joe's high on them, and he should be. James Franklin, enter Sandman, they explode, 73-3. VMI, 6 first downs, 83 total yards. Grunkmeyer, 17 for 20, 224, 2 touchdowns. And in the maybe the performance of the weekend, Pitt 59, Ball State 14, Mason Heinchel, 31 for 41, 453, and a record 7 touchdowns. And Pitt strolls right through. So there's some pretty impressive offensive performances. I know I'm highlighting Kamari O'Thiel. If you watch this kid play, he's impressive as hell. There's a lot of things to like about what we're seeing with some of these teams. We're going to see if Auburn can build off it. We're going to see if Colorado can build off it. Vatek, I mean, coming out like this, unbelievably impressive, Joe. You had to love that as a guy that has Vatek going pretty far.
Wow. Loved every second of it. I was excited for it. I saw them at the end of the game. I was tuning in and back and forth because I had other things going on. But Vatek, they got Old Dominion this week, and then they start that ACC schedule with Maryland and BC. So I'm looking forward to their October 2nd game against Pitt. That should be a real barn burner after the performances that both teams had on offense this year.
Now, while we had some great performances and great things happen, there were three that stand out that are ridiculously embarrassing. Let's start with the first game of the week. UMass 37, Rutgers 21. This wasn't even a game. UMass was just better. Rutgers was embarrassed. The Greg Schiano second stint, I thought he was getting some good recruiting going. I thought he was trying to build a little momentum. I thought they were getting the bowl games here and there and maybe build off of it, especially off of what Cignetti's done over in Indiana. They got embarrassed. This was the worst loss of the weekend to me, and at home to a team that hadn't won in nearly 2 years, 2 calendar years, last time UMass won a game, they blew them out. I turned it on at 6 o'clock start. I put it on about 7 o'clock. It was already 21-7. I'm like, what the heck? You know, UMass was just better, and Rutgers embarrassed themselves, Joe.
100%. I mean, that Greg Schiano, it's like instead of turning back the clock 20 years, it's like he's turned it back 40 years over in Rutgers, and they're back to being the Patsies of college football.
And then we go to FCS over FBS. Idaho State 29, Utah State 17. Convincing win for Idaho State. And listen, this is a team that's becoming more of a perennial power in FCS rankings. But, I mean, it's not a national championship-type team. They're not even the best in the Big Sky generally. But they took Utah State to the woodshed, beat them up pretty good. Whenever an FCS beats an FBS, you got to point it out, Joe.
Yes.
And finally, Tulsa. And we pointed this out last week. I put this game on the radar as a game to watch. Tulsa beats Oklahoma State at home 24-10. Everyone was like, oh, Oklahoma State, the offense is going to be explosive. They scored 10 points. 4 turnovers didn't help them. But it's a road game. Don't get me wrong. It's a rivalry game. But 4 turnovers on the road, you know, Tulsa getting 13.5. They won the game by 14. They won the game outright. This is a huge win for Tulsa, and Oklahoma State's got to have to figure it out. They'll get their offense going. They'll get it flowing. But they came out awfully flat in this one, Joe.
No, they did. They did. And, you know, it's interesting. A team that I'm going to talk about now because I'm going to do a little bit of a Heisman thing, but a guy who's running under the radar, Jalen Carter with Memphis. He goes 19 for 183 with 4 TDs this week in the UNLV game, in the Arkansas game. And then UNLV, he had last week, he had 15 rushes for 97 yards and a touchdown. He's making a little bit of a resume here, and we're going to talk about it in next week's podcast, but Memphis is going to Boise this week. It's going to be a game on USA Network on Saturday night that should be a very interesting game when we're talking about the Power Six or those lower-level schools that have a shot for the at-large berth. Other guys we talked about already who might now slowly getting onto the radar, Malachi Toney with his 12 catches, 234 yards, 3 TDs. Darian Mensah, 27 for 30, 401 yards, 5 TDs. A 257 passer rating, which is pretty good. USC's Jordan Maiva, 23-25, 349.
Maiva.
I know, I say it differently every time. 349 yards and 3 TDs. Oregon's Dante Moore, 28 for 37, 378, and three TDs. Some more running backs. Jordan Davison from Oregon was rushed 12 times, 90 yards and a touchdown. We talked about Jalen Carter. K'Juan Lacy got hurt, but 61 yards and a touchdown, and he had four catches for 19 yards before he went out. Trinidad Chambliss, 21 for 36, 336 in the air and three touchdowns with a pick. But then he also rushed for 60 yards and a TD. And he might be the big name in all of it. Then Deuce Alexander, five catches for 159 and two touchdowns. Some other guys we had mentioned. Well, actually, the best passing day by passer rating was Josh Hoover, 13 of 16 for 231 yards and four TDs. He had a 285 quarterback rating for whatever that's worth in college football.
And the pros, the high is what, 158.3? Yeah, I don't even know how they do the college.
158.3. Nobody knows how you figure it out. Austin Simmons, who we talked about, was 17 for 19, 252 yards and four TDs. Gunnar Stockton, 15 of 16 for 202 yards and three TDs. So a lot of guys cut up. Arizona State's Cutter Bowley, 21 for 27, 387 yards and six TDs. So guys had good games out there. So the Heisman watch is on. Obviously, the big names and the schools that everybody knows are going to have the lead. But, you know, this kid from Memphis, I don't know. We got to watch Jalen Carter this week against Boise, see how he does.
Yeah, Joe, I mean, speaking of that, we got a couple of big games this week that we're looking forward to. Yep. One of them is it includes Memphis and Boise, right? I mean, that's yep. one that you point out already.
Yep. You know, these are teams that they don't have – they're not from the Big Four conferences, so they're fighting for that one at large. For them to get two is going to be virtually impossible. So it's like a loser-leave-town match. We're going to see it. Boise has a very tough schedule. They hung with Oregon. You know, Memphis took out UNLV, and now Memphis and Boise are going to play this week. So this should be an interesting matchup to go towards that at-large process.
Yeah, and by the way, UNLV kind of dismantled Hawaii. They beat them 21-6 on the road. Nice, easy win for them. The other loser-leave-town match we talked about this week was James Madison. They held on against Liberty, 120-13. Gave him the cover that I needed, but that's a story for another day, Joe. Okay.
Yes, that's true. That's true.
We also get Oklahoma-Michigan this week, Joe. Does Michigan take something off of this game?
Wow, this is going to be an interesting one. We saw Oklahoma, I mean, was total destruction this week in their game. And Michigan had their hands tied up by Western Michigan all day. Bryce Underwood cannot play the same. Otherwise, I don't think Michigan has a chance in this game. Now, we still have to talk about it, so we have a little bit more time to look at what's going on and see what they're doing in Michigan to prepare for this. And then there's the big game of the weekend, Darren.
Yep.
Saturday night, ABC.
We got Ohio State versus Texas. This is a rematch of last year's game. Again, surprised that these teams even schedule each other anymore with the way the schedules go. This is going to be a thriller, though. The whole country will be glued into this one. You get two of the top five teams in the country going at each other. Texas didn't have a great first half against Texas State offensively. They're going to have to kick it up a notch a little bit. Ohio State was never threatened by Ball State. This is going to be one heck of a game, and we're going to dig into that later on in the week. But this is one you circle on the calendar, and this is what tells you that college football is here and it has arrived and it's ready to go.
Yep. Saturday night's going to be, everybody's going to be locked and loaded for that one. It's going to be a great game, Ohio State and Texas. Looking forward to it.
Exactly. I mean, you know, now we get into, just wrapping up this episode, but we're really getting excited about what's going to be happening on our next episode. So just remember, I mean, college football, it's a lot more than the wins and losses, Joe. We got the rivalries. We didn't have many this week, but you did have the Apple Cup, which we didn't really touch on too much, where Damon Williams led his Huskies past Washington State. But we're going to see more and more rivalries as we go forward. We're going to see more and more heartbreaks like we did with Western Michigan this week. We're going to see unforgettable moments like we saw in the Louisville game against Ole Miss. We had a lot of the great stuff happening. And the leaves are going to be falling soon, buddy. And every Saturday is going to feel like it changes everything. And it all starts and finishes with what happens on Saturdays, and we're going to be really digging in on Saturdays going forward. So until next time, Joe, keep watching, keep debating, keep believing in your team, and most importantly, keep your bracket sharp and your bowl dreams alive.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.